Join us here at Last Adam Tabernacle as we bring Christ to the nations.
Glory be to God. Yes. Where's George? Yeah. Good to see you. Yeah, when it's Eid, they call it. First, we grew up calling it Eid. Yeah. A few years ago here in LAT, I had Eid. I was like, what is this? Okay. But anyway, when it's Eid, you know George will be around. Glory be to God. Yes, good to see all of you. Yes, there are so many young people I've never seen in this church. Are those your sister? No. Your brother, then those two young ladies. We welcome you. Okay, we welcome you. Okay. What are your names? Huh? Cynthia and? Fiona. Cynthia and Fiona, you're welcome. Then there's a young gentleman. Evans. Then him. Ricky, okay, glory be to God. Hallelujah. Ricky, you're welcome. Who else? Anyone else? Glory be to God. Yes, there's a young lady at the row back. Yes, okay? Scovia, you're very welcome. Glory be to God. Hallelujah. Yes, then also, please welcome Malaika also, okay? Malaika, stand up and they see you. Yes. Please, we clap for her. Yes. You can sit down. Hallelujah. And yes, Martinson, yeah, please give a big hand clap to Martinson. Glory be to God. And the rest of you, you can clap for yourselves. Yes, yeah, talking about testimonies and God preserving life, I thank God, was it Tuesday? Yeah, Tuesday or Wednesday, I had a dream. And in this dream, there were some creatures in the house, creatures I'd never seen. You know, they're like fish, but they are fly, they move. Anyway, some stuff I'd never seen. So I was with Eden and Abigail in the dream, and we had to kill them. So anyway, we ran after them. I killed some. Then there's one witch raid, I think, upstairs. So we went after it. At a certain point, Abigail was trying to play around. I scored a die, you know. Yeah, so then one of those creatures who climbed up a storage bed. Eh? It's called a storage bed? But at times they are triple, okay? Yes, in schools now they are what? Yeah, and so, yes, it climbed up there, so I went for it. So I went for it. As I was looking for it, I realized that it had bitten my hand. And I knew it was a poisonous creature, and I knew that my life was gone. Okay? Then I realized that it was somewhere like on my left or right. So I turned to get it. And when I turned to get it, I found myself on the floor. Basically, I fell off the bed. Glory be to God. That's the first time in all my life I've ever fallen off the bed. Yeah. If it has ever happened, maybe now it's my mother. Who knows, okay? When I was young. But I don't remember ever what. But that creature, I tried to get, and the next minute, I know. Yeah. Then, when I landed down, I heard my wife say, "Are you okay, Moses?" The dream ended. The dream ended long time ago. I told you I fell off the bed. Not in the dream. No. Yes, so my wife was like, "Are you all right, Moses?" You know? I don't know if I responded, to that. But now in the morning, she told me that, man, she was in bed laughing. That when I landed down, she opens her eyes and she sees me kneeling, like in front of the, facing the wall. And I think at that point, I think I was trying to what? So she saw me in this what? State, which I don't remember. Okay? Glory be to God. So the testimony is, I thank God that I didn't die, I didn't injure myself when I fell off the what? Off the bed. Glory be to God. Yeah. And where I fell, there's it's called what? A bedside drawer. So I could have fit myself on, so after that I was thinking that drawer needs to what? But just in case those what? creatures will show up again. Hallelujah. Glory be to God. Amen. But you see, God makes all things to work out for the what? Because now you're happy, isn't it? Now you're very happy. My wife laughed the whole night. And I didn't know that she was what? I was seeing someone what? Turning a bit. What? Kumbe. She was laughing. Okay? Yeah. Glory be to God. Hallelujah. Yes. Hallelujah. Now, we thank God for Nalongwe. Okay? Man, what are getting into your car? And that's when you remember the story you read of a professor. You remember? I think it was last year. Some prof who died in a flood in Uganda. Well, it was a few years ago. That's when you remember all those stories. Now, like you, you're there in what? Then a song, what? Begins to play. One day in your what? One day in your presence is better than 1,000 elsewhere. Glory be to God. Hallelujah. Yeah, but God is what? God is good. So we have spent time. I don't know why God has made this series long. I thought it would just be two sermons, okay? The series of stirring up the gift of giving in our lives. Okay? To stir up, okay? God has been encouraging all of us to stir up, okay, the gift of giving that is in our lives. Basically, to share more and more and more as he leads us. Okay? Now, last week and the other week, I think, we read 1 Corinthians chapter 13, verse 3, and we said that, it says that though I bestow all my goods to feed the poor, and though I give my body to be burned, but have not love, it profits me nothing. Okay? You remember, we say that when you give, as the Lord has led you, okay, you get blessed, isn't it? Of course, even the person you give to gets blessed, okay? And those who get to hear about it, they get edified and God can use it to inspire them to also give, okay? But most importantly, God gets what? Blessed, amen? Yeah, but now for you, it says that if you give all that you have to the poor, okay? And if you give even your body to be burned, but you don't have love, okay, the Bible says that it profits you nothing. Okay, it profits you what? Nothing. So we said that if when we give, as we start up the gift of giving, let us ensure that we don't neglect love. Okay? Number one, when you give, your motive must be love. Okay? It shouldn't be anything else. It shouldn't be a kind of loan. Eh? I give you pork ribs, okay, because I know you're going to Japan. And I'm like, I expect you also when you come back. You understand? Now, that's not love. Okay, that's being crafty. That's being what? That's being crafty. That's being shady. Okay, you give your motive is you simply just want to bless the person. You understand? Eh? Okay, and anyway, just like it says in 2 Corinthians chapter 8, verse 24. In this verse, Paul was sending some of his friends or his fellow ministers to Corinth to prepare the people for the gifts they were going to send, okay? So he tells the Corinthians that, show to them, the people that I'm sending, show to them and before the churches the proof of your love, okay? Remember the context of 2 Corinthians 8 and 9, is giving, generosity. So he tells the Corinthians that show the people I'm sending to prepare your gift and to carry it, okay, to where it is supposed to go, show them the proof of your love. So giving is supposed to be the proof of love or one of the proofs of love. You understand? Eh? So our giving, the motive should be love. The motive should be what? The motive should be love. Glory be to God. All right? And it shouldn't just stop at the motive of love, okay? When you give, it shouldn't stop there. But also, your lifestyle, the way you live, must be a lifestyle of love, okay? And as you all know, love in the Bible, first and foremost, it means obeying the commandments of God. Glory be to God. Okay? That's what it says in John chapter 14, verse 21. Okay? Everybody knows this scripture. We read it over and over again. All right? George left the other year. Was it the other year or this year? Jan. You left in Jan. We are reading this scripture. He has come back to Chaliku. Eh? John 14, 21. And this is Jesus speaking. Jesus says that, he who has my commandments and keeps them, it is he who does what? Who loves me. Okay? He who has my commandments and keeps them, it is he who loves me. So, keeping the commandments of God, okay, means you're loving God, isn't it? Hallelujah. So, you give, you're motivated by love, but also you should be walking in love, isn't it? You should be walking in love. You should be walking in the commandments of God, okay? If your giving is going to be of benefit to you. Glory be to God. Romans chapter 13 from verse 9, Paul says that for the commandments, you shall not commit adultery, you shall not murder, you shall not steal, you shall not bear false witness, you shall not covet, and if there is any other commandment, all are summed up in this saying, namely, you shall love your neighbor as yourself. Okay, so all the commandments are summed up in one word, what? Love. Glory be to God. So if you're obeying the commandments, you are loving. Then verse 10 says that love does no harm to a neighbor. Therefore, love is a fulfillment of the law. Glory be to God. Remember, 1 Corinthians 13, verse 3 says, it says that if you give all that you have, okay, you give it away for a good cause, but you don't have love, it profits you nothing. Glory be to God. Hallelujah. It does what? It profits you nothing. So that's why I'm emphasizing what love is. Okay? Love is walking in the commandments of God. Glory be to God. Visitors, never forget that. Hallelujah. Love is walking in the commandments of God. So as you give, make sure that you're walking in the commandments of God. Okay? And almost all of us, even little children, know them. Okay? Yeah. We are born when it's like God who puts them in us. We are born, you know, little children, before even they get saved, okay, or they get to hear what is in the Bible, they know that stealing is bad, lying is bad, okay? Beating your neighbor is what? Is bad. There's a parent here who, I think it was 2 years ago or 1 year ago, okay? Her son, young son, okay? Beat a young girl at school. Glory be to God. So now that child wasn't walking in love. Glory be to God. Hallelujah.
Wasn't doing what?
Walking in love. But the child knew that it was wrong. You understand? Yeah. Because you remember, love does no harm to what? To a neighbor. Glory be to God. Hallelujah. So anyway, when you give, let your motive be love. Okay? Then, as you're giving, and after you give, make sure you're walking in love, in the commandments of what? In the commandments of God. Hallelujah. If you ignore that, then God won't accept your giving, and he won't bless it. Okay? Proverbs 21, verse 27 says that, the sacrifice of the wicked is an abomination. Okay? The sacrifice, the giving, the sharing of the wicked is an abomination. Hallelujah. Amen. Most of the giving of Muslims is an abomination. Hallelujah. Okay? Most of what they have done during their what? It is an abomination. Okay? Primarily because Islam is witchcraft. Glory be to God. Islam is what? But we've gotten so used to it. You see, everywhere you see a mosque, okay, it is a witch doctor's shrine. And that's the truth. There's one near our home. In fact, it is used as a landmark. When you're going to pastor's home, they tell you, but the truth of the matter, you see now, Islam got accepted as, So now that's why we think of it as witchcraft. Okay, but it's the same thing. Anything that is not Jesus, you understand? You see, we tell our India, the Indians at Bakula, witchcraft. Indians do witchcraft. Then guys, you know, the witch doctors of the African, witchcraft. Okay? But why don't we say that the Arabs are doing witchcraft? Because it became the religion God accepted. So we don't realize that every time you hear a Muslim calling on Allah, he's summoning demons. Because now it is the religion now is accepted, you know? That's why now when you go to Catholic churches and some Protestant churches, not all of them, you find them say, you know, the Quran is a holy book like our Bible. You understand? So now whoever says that, they're being inspired by the devil. Okay? Glory be to God. Okay? Islam is, it's which, yeah, okay? Flora was telling me of a friend of hers who was born a Muslim. She lived as a Muslim for a long time. And then later she got born again. And she was telling Fra that, man, this thing. Okay? Muslims just don't tell the stuff that they go through. Okay? You know those things. Things come and, like, ladies, and they use them. Then when they report to their parents, they say, no, that is over your end, your babichi. Because, you know, this thing is witchcraft. You know, it's witchcraft. So the demons, you know, eh? Hallelujah. Amen? Hey, glory be to God. That's why you need to tell them about Jesus. Hey. And don't praise the good things that they do. Because now they'll be like, hey, so I'm okay. You understand? Okay? Ah, you're quiet. Should I tell you again the story of how I failed? What? Yeah? It is witchcraft. And that's anything that is not Jesus. As in, this is so simple. You understand it? Jesus is God. Jesus is Lord. Okay, so any ideology, like Museveni says, any concept that dishes, that didn't accept that Jesus is God, and Jesus should be worshipped. Okay? Anything that doesn't give glory to the God of Israel, okay? Jehovah, you understand? And they have some other God. It is idolatry. It is the devil. It is the what? It is that simple. So you cannot say that someone, because the simplest way I used to explain this to people, okay, when I'm trying to shed light to them is, how can the same God, okay, the same God who give his people different commandments, eh? God gives Paul Barlow, the commandment that what? Love Jesus. Jesus is a son of God. Then he gives Muhammad a commandment that Jesus is not the son of God. Eh? Kill all those who say that Jesus is the son of God. Then now a stupid umulokole, eh? Who comes and says that we worship the same God. The guy has just read to you what his book says. Then again you say we worship the same God. The guy has read to you what is what? That he's supposed to kill you. Eh? Mkafir. Then you say worship the same God. Can you imagine such stupidity? High level, what foolishness. Eh? Then you know, right now in churches somewhere, they're telling people, let us celebrate with our brothers and sisters, the Muslims. Let us celebrate Eid with them. You know, eh? Okay? Like, Tamale Umirundi used to say what? Anyway, glory be to God. Hallelujah. But anyway, the sacrifice of the wicked is what? An abomination. The wicked are those who are not walking in the commandments of God. So they're not walking in love. So because they're not walking in love, okay, their giving is an abomination to God. Therefore, their giving doesn't profit them. Because Paul said that if I give all that I have for a good cause, or even I go to the extreme and I even give my body to be burned, but have not love, it profits me nothing. Glory be to God. Hallelujah. Mwine, have you heard? Now, every time you say mosque, you understand, you think mosques are somewhere in forest, hidden in what? Mabida, eh? Behind people's what? Houses. Okay? That's one of the reasons why many people, every now and again, they have to go to their what? To their villages. Because of what they do there when they what? When they reach there. Okay? So you see, people say, you know, Mubank, Zabasilam, Munimu shrines, Crane Bank, there's a shrine there. Okay? But people forget that even mosques are the same thing. It's the same what? It's the same thing. Glory be to God. But you shouldn't fret, you shouldn't get scared about it. You have Jesus, amen? And he watches over you. He watches over who? Over you. Glory be to God. So don't now start walking. If you have a music, it's not here. We should shift. We should shift. What? This mosque. Where? They're invoking with demons on us every 5:30, 5 times a day. No, don't do that. Glory be to God. Amen? Hallelujah. Just pray for them and, there's something which are not, there's nothing much you can do about them. You understand, eh? It is God's business. He will sort it out whenever, when he returns, okay? Hallelujah. Okay, so the sacrifice for the wicked is a what? It's an abomination. Okay? Hallelujah. Okay? So let us walk in the commandments of God. Let us walk in love. Okay? Let us walk in love. Let's obey the commandments of God. Okay? Let our lifestyle be one that glorifies the Lord. Hallelujah. Let us not steal. Let us not steal. Let us not beat one another. Hallelujah. If your brother is in trouble, something bad has happened to them, don't laugh. Don't do what? There are people who haven't gotten that. Don't laugh. Hallelujah. Yes. Obaganyire. Say story, don't laugh. Hallelujah.
Glory be to God. Okay?
Hallelujah. The Bible says in Matthew chapter 5, Matthew 5:23, the Bible says that if you bring your gifts to the altar, we can say now to the church, and there remember that your brother has something against you. Basically, you did harm to your neighbor, to your brother or sister. Okay? Jesus said, leave your gift there before the altar and go your way. First be reconciled to your brother, then come and offer your gift. Hallelujah. So here he's saying that your gift won't be accepted. Okay? The best example I can give is that Anyway, so you did some work. I did some work with Sam. Okay, then we got a commission. A commission. But then the commission was handed over to me. Okay? Then I played Sam. And I didn't give him his portion. Okay? That is wrong. Okay? So now Sam has something against me. Okay? But for me, I'm there with tithing. You understand? Jesus said, no. Okay? First go and be reconciled with what? Your brother. Then come and offer your what? Your gift. Glory be to God. If you don't do that, your sacrifice, the Bible says it is an abomination. Hallelujah. It is an abomination. Glory be to God. Amen? Hallelujah. Okay, now, as we talk about this, okay, indirectly, we are hitting two birds with one stone. Now, so if you're giving and you're walking in love, God will bless your giving. Your giving will profit you. Okay? That's one bad. The second bad is you will go to heaven. Okay? Because the Bible says that the unrighteous will not inherit the kingdom of God. The unrighteous Christians. Okay? Together with the Muslims, of course. All right? They won't inherit the kingdom of God. Okay? That is why I'm taking time to emphasize this love thing. It is not just for the life that now is. Okay? Hallelujah. If you're into the habit of continually, you're just playing people. That's why you go to church on Sunday. So that you find fools to what? Or to hammer. Eh? You know, eh? Tova mukanisa ku Sunday. Sunday for you, whether there's a flood, you have to come to church. Because that's where you get people you're going to steal from. Okay? There are churches, you know, which one of their key things is, their main thing is networking. Eh? Networking, networking, networking. So people just go there to do what? Hey. So guys who are not saved are all there. They saved are there. But the whole thing is to what? You sit, you hear a testimony. Fish farming. Then you go and you craft a what? You craft a proposal. See, and you don't have intentions of what, but just want to impress some guys so that you can, you can rob him. Hallelujah. Some guy has just come from Japan. He knows some generators which work how. So he hears of someone whose fish died because the electricity went off. And they, so he comes and he crafts a proposal of some generator which... any of those things, and Abalokole, many of them, man, are thugs. Many of them are what? Thugs. Hallelujah. Yeah, if you're one of those, you're in this place, please stop. Number one, God won't bless your giving. Number two, you're going to hell. And that is the worst of them all. You're going to hell. You're going where? You're going to hell. Hallelujah. You should stop those things. You should stop being a thief. Okay? Yeah, but of course, the other things, adultery, lying, all those things, okay? We read them, and you know these things. Okay? Please stop those things, amen? If you want your giving to profit you, and if you're serious about, spending eternal life with God. Glory be to God. And you can say that in China, I'm 40. These days I hear people live up to 85, so I haven't even lived half of my life. I will style up, But man, now these floods, man, find you at the forest mall. Glory be to God. Or the devil engineers a dream. You're there killing creatures. You understand? You're 40. Then you fall off. You hammer your head down on the what? And you die. And you die just like that. Hallelujah. So this thing of we are here for long, man. You don't know. And even if you're going to live for long up to 85, you see, there's some things when you begin to do them, it is hard to stop. Let's say money, stealing. You begin to steal money. So because now you have money, you buy a car, like Flora's car, a RAV4, UAF, Is it UAF or UAE? Glory be to God. H, eh? You buy a car, Then you start taking coffee. Okay. Anyone you hear coffee, drinking coffee, just know they have some money to waste. coffee. Let's meet for a cup of coffee, you know. But it's good to take one. So please don't misunderstand me. Okay, the other day, anyway, see, I saw coffee, you know. Anyway, so you know, lifestyle in Gechuka, then you learn those words, or cappuccinos, latte, what, you just coffee, which has been a while, and me, you know, Sambu. Cute name, what? Mock. Okay? And then, so you start that, like I said, and every day you're not going to just take coffee only, cutting, going to get some chicken, chicken, which it is a chicken you have at home, but bagatagata ho won't. Then you pay 30,000. Grains. You need to take grains. So, and so your lifestyle change now. If you have kids, okay, so where they go to school, you understand? So you go to the boys' schools in Naguru, Kampala Diplomatic School, okay? You see now, and you're using stolen money. In fact, even maybe if you're a man, the woman you marry, she'll like you because of that money. You know? Now, tell me, how are you going to stop stealing? Because you see, the moment you stop stealing, you're going to stop to take a coffee. Yes, because you're paying 20,000 for a thing like what? A cup like this. Yeah? You understand? And that's why you are meeting your friends. So you're going to stop. You understand? How are you going to fuel your car to service it, your RAV4, UAE, you know? So kids have to drop out of school. Do you understand? How many people have that, the strength, man, to say, I'm stopping stealing, I'm taking my kids to UPE. You understand? So you see, when you begin to, there's something, man, the moment you stop them, man, you're going to live up to 85 and you can't get out of them and you end up in hell. You understand? Okay? You stole money, then you bought a house where? Ulubowa. Okay? Then Ulubowa, you find Balina, like a committee. Yeah? They have security, whatever, of 200,000. Eh? And so, man, now you stop stealing. Now you have to get out of Lubowa because you can't afford the 200,000 every month. You see what I mean? As in, you know, for, the clothes you are wearing, putting on, those good names, Mwine, Mwine, you see, you're going to have to stop. And end up in what? Downtown, man, you know. When you say guy, with clothes, you call them when you're what? Hiding. So you understand, So he says stealing, you began it when you think you can get out of it. But you get trapped there, man. You stop to steal, your wife is going to run away from you. Because she wanted you for dying. You understand? So are you ready to stop and she leaves? Kids going to UPE? Man, you walked. Do you understand? So there are some things young people don't start. Don't do what? Don't start, like stealing, don't start. Okay? Hallelujah. Okay? Don't start. Okay? And young ladies, okay? Cynthia and who? and Fiona and you know, if you find a young man and he likes you and he has money, it is wisdom, but sometimes that wisdom is trashed. Ask him, man, what are you doing? Because you're going to marry a thief, you know. You're going to marry a thief, and sooner or later, you're going to have to collaborate. To work together. You understand? Beginning to be serious. So you see, you are a partner in crime. You understand? You're a thief. You're helping your husband to rob the government, to rob people, to rob widows of their land, to rob friends. They do business, then hammer. You understand? You are an accomplice. And you're going to hell. Okay? And in the meantime, God is not accepting your what? Your sacrifices. Glory be to God. Hallelujah.
Amen.
Yes, so I first learned about the importance of this thing called love as far as being blessed is concerned, and especially financially. I first learned about it in 2006, I think it was. 2006 or 2007. In that dream which I share all the time. Okay? In that dream, I was with Joyce Meyer and Crawford Dollar. Crawford Dollar, those days, used to preach about prosperity. Okay? And Joyce Meyer, like now, was preaching about love. So I remember telling Joyce Meyer that I'd rather listen to you when you're preaching about love. But if it comes to financial prosperity, I'd rather listen to Creflo Dollar. Then Joyce Meyer told me that, young man, never separate those two things. Never separate financial prosperity from love. And you know what love is now. Walking the command, never do that. All right? Then I told her that, okay, for you, Joyce Meyer, you preach about love, and Crawford Dollar preaches about prosperity. But as for me, I will preach both. Okay, now, in that dream, and that time, by the way, I wasn't a pastor. I was a student. In fact, I was doing my master's in the U.S. in 2006. Okay, so in that dream, God was telling me one of the messages I will preach for him in the earth. Okay, that is love and what? Prosperity. Okay, and number two, he was saying to me as an individual that never separate those two things. If you want your giving to profit you, okay, your motive should be love, and you should be walking in what? In love. Hallelujah. Glory be to God. Okay? Now, the second time God emphasized that to me was, I think, either 2011 or 2012. Okay? So that is like 5 or 6 years later. And again, it was in a dream. Okay, the dream that I've shared here many times, and I'll share it again. Glory be to God. So I dreamt, okay. So now it's coming to how many years? Like 15 years. Anyway, so yes. So I dreamt that I was we were in a theater, okay, a surgical theater room, and we were helping a doctor. Okay, anyway, so there was a patient on a table, all right, and so there was a surgeon who was operating on that patient, and And I and Flora were assistants to the surgeon. Okay, so we are working on the patient. So at a certain, and that surgeon, in real life, he's not a surgeon. Okay? You know Danson Chisule? He was the surgeon in the dream. Okay? In real life, he's not anywhere near medicine or surgery. But anyway, he was the surgeon, and I and Flora were assisting him to work on a patient. So I asked Flora that these people we are working on, okay, and including this one now, what are they suffering from? Okay, then I got the answer that they have HIV, okay, and you know the treatment they had come for. You remember? The treatment they had come for, and they wanted the HIV to be put to an end. So the treatment they had come for and which we were giving them, okay, was death. You remember it's a dream? It's a what? It's a dream. Glory be to God. So we were working on these guys. Basically, yeah. To put an end to what? To their life. And that's what they'd come for. Okay? That's what they'd come for. And the leading surgeon was who? Danson, which is Suli. Okay? So, yeah, we worked on some. But then there's some, it jammed to work. Okay? In fact, all of them, it jammed to work. Okay? And Danson, we failed to kill them. We failed. And Bambi, they were so disappointed. Because it's like putting an end to their lives was the only way to put an end to HIV. Because, remember, even I think now, okay, the only way someone can get cured of HIV, of course, not the only way, but naturally speaking, is when they die. That's when the HIV will stop, isn't it? But of course, with prayer, yeah? So I know that aspect. So anyway, guys were disappointed. Okay? They now, because Danson realized that he couldn't help these patients. Okay, he put off his gloves. Then the surgeon staff also, and then left. Okay, left because he couldn't treat the patients. He couldn't give them what they wanted. His way of doing it failed. Then there came another surgeon. This surgeon, I didn't know him in real life, but I remember this guy walked in. And for him now, okay, his method of putting people with HIV, you know there are kids here, so... The whole thing of saying kidding, you know, because now they are like, what? Anyway, yeah. And so his method, it had to work. It had to do what? Work. Okay? So the guy came in. Now, the way he would do it, okay, and the way we helped him to do it was we would get a patient, okay, on that. It's called bed, okay, in theater. Then we would bend his back so that we break it. Okay? Visitors, we rarely... So we would do what? break the back, and the patient would die, and that would, HIV would be put one in. So for him, his method was breaking backs. And we helped him, I and Flora. Yeah, and you know, it was a success. So the patients got what they wanted. HIV was put one end. Okay? Now, there is a guy who in real life I knew. Okay? I knew him. He also came. Okay? And even him, we put him on a table. Then we did what? Try to break his back. Things jammed. Try to break his things jammed, man. Then the surgeon was in shock because he's like, this thing works. You understand? Eh? Okay? This method works. So he told this guy that, you know what? Get off the table. First, go to the bathroom. Okay? Go to the bathroom. Okay? Basically, go for a long call. Okay? Go for a long call. Remove all the filth from your body. Then come back. And you say, after you've done that, things has to work. Glory be to God. And the dream ended there. Hallelujah. The dream ended there. Now, what did the dream mean? Okay? Most of you know, okay? But I'm going to go over it again because it is a will of God. Okay, now, it took me hours, almost a day, for me to understand, okay, what that dream meant. Okay? Though it was filled with killing people, going to the bathroom, the inner witness in me was like, this dream is from the Lord. Okay, don't discard it. You see what I mean? Eh? There was something deep in my heart telling me that this is not what? A demonic dream or a thing of the flesh. Yeah? That thing of running after someone or creatures in the river. Somehow I knew this dream was from God, but I failed to get it. I remember I spent the whole day like thinking about it. Okay? Then I remember I sat at the chef as I was eating, I thought about it. Man, I failed to get its meaning. Then I think, yeah, there was a fellowship I was going to that evening. And so I get a taxi from the chef. Now, when I go to Okira Road Police Station, I'm in the taxi. And then in a moment, in a split second, okay, like the interpretation just, you know, because while I'm in the taxi, God reminded me of a certain preacher, Mike Murdock, okay? That's his name. He's an American, okay? Who says that he broke the back of poverty by giving. So that phrase, breaking the back of poverty, remember? Breaking back. When that thought came and I remember that guy, the whole dream came together, the interpretation. You understand? So God now begins to interpret for me the dream, starting from the latter part of the dream, breaking the back. Remember, there was the first surgeon. But now he begins by breaking. He's like, don't you remember Mike Murdock? How he broke the back of what? Poverty. And how did he do it? By giving. Glory be to God. By giving. Okay? So God was saying, so you can see, God is saying that poverty can be put to an end by giving. Glory be to God. Poverty can be put to an end by giving. Okay? And let me add my thing. Not by begging. Glory be to God. Not by looking out for those who are rich. Then what? You start crafting proposals. Okay? Poverty can be put, you know, HIV, the only thing that can put an end to HIV is when someone dies, isn't it? That's why people are coming to be killed. They had HIV. Now, in the dream, God said that the HIV in the dream was symbolic of poverty. And God says that poverty can be put to an end by what? Giving, breaking the back of poverty by giving, just as Mike Murdock did. Visitors, do you understand that? You're getting it. Okay? Hallelujah. Then, when God brought that revelation to my mind, I remembered why now Dan San Chisule was the first surgeon whose method of putting an end to HIV didn't work. Okay? I remembered. In fact, Dan San Chisule has a group of people, okay, Christians, and their main thing is saving. Okay? Saving money. Save and prosper. Those things. Okay? So God was telling me that saving by itself alone cannot put an end to poverty. Hallelujah. Glory be to God. Okay? Financial literacy experts say amen. Amen. Saving by itself can't put an end to poverty. That is according to God. Glory be to God. That is why Dan San Chisule, the expert at teaching about saving, had to put off his gloves and walk out of the theater. Glory be to God. You know, Proverbs 11, 24 says that there is here, okay, there is a man that scatters, that gives continually, yet increases more. And now there's someone who withholds more than is right. And the Bible says it tendeth to poverty. Glory be to God. Hallelujah. Okay? He says that there is a person who gives. Okay? And naturally speaking, that person should be getting poorer or poor. But the Bible says, no. That individual increases materially. Then there's one who withholds more than is right. That person sells more than is right. God is not saying that saving is evil, but saving more than is right, instead of giving, being a blessing to others. Okay, the Bible says it leads to poverty. Hallelujah. Glory be to God. So that is why Dan San Chisule's method of bringing an end to HIV, to poverty, wasn't working. It didn't work. And people had to what? Rather, he had to leave. And when he left, another surgeon walked into the room. Glory be to God. And that surgeon, for him, the way he was doing it was by breaking backs. Okay? The Mike Murdock way, breaking the back of poverty by giving. You're getting it. Hallelujah. Glory be to God. Hallelujah. Amen? Because you see, giving, when you give, you increase, isn't it? Okay? Then when you just do the dance and Chisule way, Okay, you want to prosper. Glory be to God. Yes, you get your plot of land because you saved. Then you build, but the building will be struggle. Finally, you finish. You know, eh? Then, like, man. So you see now, you have a house. But you're still a poor man. But you have a house. Because the interview is not for sweating. You understand? You're there, but the house is giving you trouble, man. In fact, you understand. So you have a house, yes, but you are in trouble. Okay, you saved. Then you got a car. So you became rich. Okay? But now the car, fueling it, when it gets a problem. So you have a car, but the fact of the matter is what? You're poor, but you have a car. And there's someone who does that, who doesn't have a car, but they are rich. You understand? Because for them, they're abundantly supplied at the level they are at. Glory be to God. Hallelujah. Amen? Yeah. Now, why was I with Flora in the dream? For a long time, I didn't understand why Flora was in the dream. And I was working with her to kill chaps. Okay? Then I think it was years later, or a few years after that, that I was like, now I know why Flora was in the dream. You see, sometimes, you see, that's why there is no formula for interpreting dreams. There's no formula. Dream interpretation is by the Spirit of the Lord. It is not Bible books from what? Nigeria. Or from Mutundwe. Or from where? From where? I don't know where I should mess you up. Okay? Not from Mutundwe. Not from where? Not from Mutundwe. I don't know that we have enough time and I mess you up with concerning Mutundwe. Glory be to God. But that will be for another day. Hallelujah. It will be for what? And so why was I with Flora? I realized, you know, we went to school to study in the U.S. with her. And then later I come back and we were working on the same campus but different organizations. Now, Flora's organization, man, those guys had the dime. You know, they had the, and so they were being paid well. And I used to call her rich. You see what I mean? Now, I realized that God, like, there was something. And maybe, there was a, like, Flora was there to reveal or to represent something that God was saying about me. You understand? But let's see that. It's not important for this. Now, so there's this guy, remember? We failed to break his back. Okay? Breaking the back failed. Okay, we failed to break the, we failed to put an end to HIV. We're using the method of breaking the back. So, meaning that giving failed to put an end to his poverty. Isn't it? Then the surgeon told him, first go, use the bathroom. Remove all the filth from your what? System. Go for a long call, then come and get back on the what? The table. And he told him, with that, okay, your back will be broken and you die. Okay? Then God reminded me, okay, I think it is Mark chapter 7. Mark chapter 7 says that, for from within, out of the heart of men, proceed filth, isn't it? And what is that filth? Evil thoughts, adulteries, fornications, murders, thefts, covetousness, wickedness, deceit, lewdness, an evil eye there means being mean. Yeah? Being mean. You don't give. Okay, that is an evil eye. Okay? Blasphemy, pride, foolishness, and many more, of course. Jesus says that all these evil things come from within and defile a man. Okay? So now, notice that all these things have nothing to do with love, isn't it? If someone has these things, they don't have love in their lives. You understand? Okay? So that's why the surgeon says, go and remove that filth. Because remember, Paul said, if you give everything you have to feed the poor, but you don't have love, it profits you nothing. So you're giving, but you have this filth in your life. Hallelujah. Okay? Evil thoughts, stupid thoughts, adulteries, yeah? Fornications, murders, like you kill people, maybe like real or in your heart, you hate people, okay? Thefts, okay, that theft I was telling you about, okay? Wickedness, like deceit, okay? When they call liars, you're the one who holds the bandera, the banner. Eh? You're the one who holds the flag. You're the one who leads them. Liars. Okay, pride. You know all those things. So those things defile a man. If someone has these things, that's not love. So their giving doesn't profit them. God doesn't bless that one. That's why the surgeon tells this guy, go and first remove all the filth from you. Then come and we break the backs. Meaning that after that, giving will put an end to your poverty. Glory be to God. Hallelujah. Amen. So that was the second time God emphasized to me the importance of giving, okay, with love. Hallelujah. This thing has to be emphasized. Hallelujah. It has to be emphasized because there are people who think that maybe we create a day here for what? For miracle seed. Miracle seed, God will bless you, miracle seed, you know. But you know that thing is not coupled with love. You know what I'm saying? It's in vain. Hallelujah. Amen. And those who know that they love people, they don't want to talk about it because they're like, man, okay? People are not walking in love, Kati. You understand? So like, let's ignore that. Just say the grace of God, the grace of God, the grace of God. The grace of God. God doesn't look at you. He looks at Jesus. You know, he looks at you. When he sees Jesus, he sees you. So don't condemn yourself. And I know that trash, you know. Hallelujah. Jesus, you're the righteous of God. So don't think about your unrighteous. It doesn't matter. Because just right, you're righteous. So, you understand, just give and then, you know. But I don't know why those who don't say that. Even your giving doesn't matter. man. But anyway, glory be to God. But you get the point. Hallelujah. Visitors, never forget this. Walk in love. And love means obeying the commandments of God. So when you give and you're walking in love and your motive for giving was a good motive, then God will bless your giving. Hallelujah. As I end, we should be like Solomon. We should be like who? Solomon. Before he fell. Okay? 1 Kings chapter 3 from verse 3 says that, and Solomon loved the Lord. Loved the Lord how? That is the next phrase. It says that he loved the Lord walking in the statutes of his father David. The statutes there mean the commandments of David. Which were they? The commandments of God. So Solomon loved the Lord. How? Not by just singing sweet sounding songs. But he loved him first and foremost by walking in his commandments. The commandments that his father David walked in. Isn't it? Okay? Verse 4. Now the king, King Solomon, went to Gibeon to sacrifice there, to offer a sacrifice. So that sacrifice that was going to offer wasn't going to be an abomination to the Lord, because it wasn't wicked. He was walking in the commandments of God. He was loving God. Isn't it? So he reached there, and the Bible says that Solomon offered 1,000 burnt offerings on that altar. Okay. Then verse 5, at Gibeon, the Lord appeared to Solomon in a dream by night, and God said, ask, what shall I give you? Glory be to God. So we see here the giving or the sacrifice of someone who is walking in love is profiting them. Isn't it? It is profiting them. God is accepting it and is blessing the giver, because the giver is walking in love. The giver is walking in the commandments of God. Then God is like, ask, what shall I give you? Let's jump to verse 9. Verse 9 says, Solomon says, give to your servant an understanding heart to judge your people, that I may discern between good and evil. For who is able to judge this great people of yours? So you see even now the motive. The motive was love. He wanted to rule the people well. Glory be to God. Okay, then verse 10 says that, that speech, what Solomon asked for, pleased the Lord. That Solomon had asked this thing. Then God said to him, because you have asked this thing, and have not asked long life for yourself, nor have asked riches for yourself, nor have asked the life of your enemies. Okay? But have asked for yourself understanding to discern justice. Behold, I have done according to your words. See, I have given you a wise and an understanding heart, so that there has not been anyone like you before you, nor shall what? There be anyone like you after you. And I have also given you what you have not asked. Glory be to God. Okay? So I have also given you what you have not asked, both riches and honor, so that there shall not be anyone like you among you. Glory be to God. Hallelujah. Amen. The giving, the sacrifice of a man who was walking in love. Okay? Loving God, loving people. That's why he even asked for something that will be a blessing to God's people. And that giving profited the man. Glory be to God. Hallelujah. Glory be to God. So, just as Joyce Meyer told me, in fact, she used the phrase young man. Okay? She began to say, young man. Never separate those two things, love and prosperity. Okay? So, I tell you, anyone who's younger than me, all those who are my age, okay? Young men, young women, never separate giving from love. Okay? If you give but you're not walking in love, in the commandments of God, God won't bless that giving. Then you start to blame your pastors, your apostles, your prophets. See, the problem was yours. Yes, you are giving as God had instructed on that day or on that event or for that occasion, but you are not walking in love. Glory be to God. Hallelujah. Amen. So stir up the gift of giving, but don't neglect walking in love. Glory be to God. Okay? Abigail, have you learned something? Hallelujah. Malaika, have you learned something? Yes, please obey the commandments of God. Children, obey your parents. One of the ways you show God that you love him is by obeying your parents. That is walking in love. Okay? Hallelujah. Glory be to God. And God will bless you. Amen.
Last Adam Tabernacle, Christ for the nations.